That's Season 2 music, which means it's time for a Big Savage update. If you haven't yet listened to Season 2, covering the death of Alexander Stevens and the trial of Megan Schaefer, consider this a spoiler alert. We will be discussing how the trial ended. From Chromatic Media and Jam Street Media, this is Appalachian Mysteria. We actually have several topics to cover today. First, I wanted to respond to the folks who've asked me since the end of Season 2 about the likelihood of Megan getting out of prison. The answer is extremely unlikely. She's already lost an appeal regarding the length of her sentence, and the court she would have to win over is the same court that denied the appeal of Adnan Syed from the podcast Serial. If we hear anything more, we'll let you know, but it does not look good. Next is something that I posted about on social media but haven't yet mentioned in an episode. Jay Stevens, father of Alex Stevens, has passed away. Before and throughout the trial of Megan Schaefer for the death of his son, he was battling stage 4 cancer. It made an impossible situation even harder. It's truly heartbreaking to sit and consider what the family has been going through over the past few years. I've been trying to think whether there was some reasonable way I could honor him here, and I think the best I can do is a song. One thing we may not have even mentioned during the show was a moment during Megan's sentencing where the Stevens family had arranged to play a video of Alex singing. The whole day had been extremely emotional for everyone. Members of the family had taken the stand to talk about the emotional impact that the death of Alex had on them. As was often the case in the courtroom, there was a technical glitch, and the video of Alex just wouldn't play. Judge Struben insisted on a break in the proceedings as court employees and Stephen Moon tried to get a laptop computer to display everything properly. We overheard the judge say, "I want to see this." Eventually, things got worked out, the sentencing was reconvened, and Alex's voice filled the courtroom with a rendition of Come Sail Away that he'd performed with the Coast Guard Glee Club. Jay and Janet Stevens swayed to the music, even started lightly tapping out the time when the song sped up. From their countenance, I could tell that it meant a lot to them. So, in honor of Jay Stevens, here's the only thing I know and have access to that was significant to him. I'm sailing away, set an open course for the virgin sea, 'cause I've got to be free, free to face the life that's ahead of me. Oh, Next, we wanted to address people asking about whether it's possible for us to obtain the evidence from the trial. Sarah and I have a list of all the evidence obtained during the investigation. Unfortunately, the cost for all the materials was over $2,000. We started going over the list, paring down items to figure out what we were most interested in, thinking maybe we could spend less money on fewer items. That's when we found out that Judge Struben had sealed all evidence introduced at trial.
We don't have any reasons why Struben made that move. You know, you have to ask yourself, what's the reason?
I mean, that's something that could possibly be reversed, though, right? Like, that's not set in stone.
Yes, I believe it could be reversed.
That, of course, is Teresa, reporter for the Cumberland Times News, who collaborated with us throughout the course of the podcast. Apologies for the audio quality here. Our packed schedules didn't allow an in-person recording session, so we spoke with her over the phone. As Teresa says, we don't know why Judge Struben sealed the evidence in the case. Perhaps it was to give the family some protection from the media coverage that surrounded the trial, especially during such an impossibly difficult time. Either way, Teresa says that Jay Stevens would probably be pleased with the outcome.
I would be willing to believe that Jay Stevens would want that case sealed, but I don't know for a fact that he asked for it to be sealed. You know, he wanted people to know who his son was, but at the same time, he hated the negative attention. He hated the gruesome details being brought out. I think that all really tore him apart.
The final update we have is also related to Judge Struben. To introduce this one, we should probably go back to when Sarah and Teresa were attending the 5-day trial. During that process, they noticed that one of the court employees was wearing a different wig each day. Though they didn't know it at the time, the woman's name was Lorianne Ludwig.
I was just telling Kendall that I remember seeing Lorianne Ludwig in the courtroom, and I'm sure you do too, because she really stood out with all of those different wigs.
Sure. Yeah, I remember seeing her.
And I kind of remember someone asking her why she had so many wigs, and she gave like some kind of, you know, brush off explanation. Do you remember that at all?
I don't remember that.
There aren't too many reasons why someone would need that many wigs when wigs are so expensive.
Right. And in Garrett County, of all places.
Right.
You're in a courthouse. It's a murder trial. It's a very conservative area.
Yeah, I mean, it was really unlikely that it was a fashion choice.
Exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make as well.
Of course, it's not uncommon for people with certain conditions or people undergoing chemotherapy to wear wigs, but even if that were the case, it seemed unusual for a woman of her age to make daily changes in a formal setting. Sarah and Teresa noticed, but soon forgot about it. Then, last week, Lorianne Ludwig's lawsuit against Judge Struben dropped.
According to the lawsuit, they met in 2009 at a bookstore, right?
Yes. In 2009, Struben met Ludwig while she was working at a local bookstore. And according to the lawsuit, they started as friends, but eventually their relationship became romantic.
And both of them were married.
Correct. And so their time spent together was often limited to periods when they were both supposed to be working. Then in 2014, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley appointed Struben to fill the vacancy on the circuit court for Garrett County. And immediately after he started that term, he arranged for Ludwig to get a job as the jury commissioner / law librarian for the Circuit Court of Garrett County. The lawsuit further alleges that Ludwig did not meet the qualifications for the position, but Struben insisted that she take the job so they would have more time for their romantic relationship at work. According to the lawsuit, she took the job because of her relationship with Struben and because it gave her a pay increase and benefits over her job at the bookstore. So she takes the job, and the contract, this is very clear in the lawsuit, the employment contract was made between the Circuit Court for Garrett County, Struben, and Ludwig. And that's important later on in the lawsuit. Ludwig believed that they were in a relationship at that point. They would go to the local golf club for drinks. They would go to area motels for sex.
So about how long does Ms. Ludwig go along with this relationship?
Until about 2015. And at that point, according to the lawsuit, she became remorseful and told Struben that she wanted to end things. Initially, she claims Struben responded by giving her gifts, different romantic gestures. He would give her jewelry and other things. And when that failed, that's when he started to threaten her. The lawsuit claims the threats began small, that he could fire her at any time if she stopped having sex with him. And she alleges when she pushed back, he told her that he was the most powerful man in Garrett County and he would ruin her life if she ended their relationship. He started telling her he was more powerful than God. If she stopped having sex with him, he would ruin her life and the lives of everyone she knew.
Time for a quick break. When we return, Teresa explains the bizarre reason Ludwig was changing her wigs daily, and the story only gets more disturbing from there. Stay tuned. We left off with Ludwig's claim that Judge Struben was using his position to force her to continue a sexual relationship with him. According to her, this went on for about a year, and then her life got even more unbearable.
In April of 2016, she becomes diagnosed with an aggressive form of breast cancer and needs to keep her job in order to have health insurance.
So she is literally staying in this job and staying in this, we'll call it a relationship, allegedly because she needs her health benefits so she can survive.
According to the lawsuit, yes. She claims that she, while she was undergoing chemotherapy and radiation as part of her treatment, and it changed her body, it changed her hair, it changed her weight. She needed to wear a wig. And while that was happening, she claims he's continuing to force her to have sex with him in the courthouse during work hours. He would give her a Vulcan hand signal if other people were in the room that indicated, it's time, make sure you're in my office at a certain point so that you will have sex with me. I believe during after work hours as well. Telling her that he likes the changes to her body because it felt like he was dating someone new. He would also ask her to wear different wigs because it allowed him to imagine that he was having sex with a different girl each time she changed the wig. She claims that during this period, he repeatedly threatened her and told her that if she ended the relationship, she would lose her job.
What she's describing is terrifying. I mean, it goes from some kind of romantic gesture to a secret affair to him basically threatening her. This is a terrifying story to hear. Like, how did that affect you while you were writing about this?
You know, first of all, this is only one side of the story. So we have to remind ourselves of that constantly. These are allegations. We do not have anything from Struben or his attorneys. We don't know what his side of the story is. We haven't seen any proof yet. So these are clearly allegations. That said, just reading this lawsuit it's very difficult to read. It's very difficult to imagine someone in that position needing to keep their job, going through chemotherapy, trying to just survive, being in this secret relationship, being terrified about their family finding out, being in a small community, knowing how people would judge them. It's hard to read. It's definitely hard to read. There's one line in particular in the lawsuit that says, Steuben would also cruelly remind Ludwig that if she were fired, she would not have the money to continue her chemotherapy treatments and would die.
I'm sorry, it's just, it's kind of hard to process it, honestly. Like, if everything that she says is true, not only is she going through this personal tragedy of trying to overcome cancer, which might kill her, she has to put up with all of this stuff on the side, which, whether she's going through chemotherapy or any other kind of treatment, she's probably not feeling like she wants to have sex in the first place. And this is something that she has to do to save her own life.
The civil suit claims that Ludwig is willing to provide evidence of gifts, information about hotels and other places where they spent time together, and more, to the Office of the Attorney General.
But the lawsuit claims, despite those good faith efforts on Ludwig's part, the Maryland OAG submitted a blanket denial in response to her charge of discrimination.
What caused their denial?
According to Ludwig's attorney in the lawsuit, certain federal and state laws regarding discrimination and harassment in the workplace did not apply to Ludwig's claims because Steuben had drafted her employment contract in a specific way.
This is what Teresa mentioned would come back into play later. This is one of the most central questions in this case, and in keeping with the Big Savage case, no one knows what this means. No one seems willing or able to explain what about Ludwig's employment contract made it exempt from those protections, which isn't to suggest that it's not true. It's just that no one on either side of the case will explain it yet.
Again, I think that's one of the circumstances that I probably won't get more information on that until we reach at least the discovery phase in the lawsuit. I've asked her attorney what that means, and he's declining for now to give any details on that. I also, you know, I've reached out to so many different offices, including Steuben's, to try to find out exactly what that means, and nobody will tell me anything.
Steuben claims that after years of abuse, her breaking point finally came on April 29th, 2019, less than a year after Megan's conviction. It was her 50th birthday.
He called her to wish her a happy birthday, and during the call, he told her she should give him 50 blowjobs because she turned 50 years old that day.
On her birthday?
The claim is on her birthday. She did go to his chamber, and she told him at that point she wanted to end things. She tried to leave and claims that Steuben became enraged and grabbed her, pushed her towards his desk, slams her face down on his desk, pulls her clothes down, and forcibly has sex with her without her consent. After Steuben finished, Ludwig immediately left work and never returned. In fact, her attorney told me later that she was fired because she didn't go back to her job.
So I have to wonder, since your coverage of the Schaefer trial was criticized so heavily with so much vitriol, are you seeing a similar reaction when you're publishing this announcement about Ludwig's suit against Steuben?
Not yet. It's eerily silent at this point. We did post the Steuben stories on social media, and there are some comments that say, you know, disgusting, he's abusing his power, he should be treated like any other person in this case. And again, we have to pay close attention that we only have one side of the story, we don't have any evidence.
Have you seen the petition to Governor Larry Hogan on change.org? The Hold Raymond G. Steuben Accountable petition?
I have, and in fact, I looked at it earlier today. It had 685 signatures.
And they're trying to go to, what, 1,000?
Yeah, the petition claims they need to reach 1,000. I'm not clear on what that 1,000 signature milestone would actually do. I can tell you I did reach out to the governor's office a couple of times and asked them to comment on the petition as well as the case, the lawsuit, the claims, and they didn't respond at all, which is unlike the governor's office. I've reached out to them more times than I'll ever be able to count during the whole COVID situation, and they were very good about communicating.
Do you think this means anything for Megan Schaefer if Struben is ever convicted?
I don't think it means anything for Megan Schaefer if Struben is convicted. And one of the reasons I feel strongly about that is because Schaefer made attempts to appeal various situations involving her case. And a secondary set of judges upheld Struben's position. So I don't think this will mean anything whatsoever for Schaefer. But I do question whether an attorney could come forward who represented someone else under other circumstances during this time period that Ludwig alleges Struben was forcing her to have sex. I wonder if an attorney could come forward and question Struben's ability to make rational decisions.
By the end of July 2021, Struben's attorneys will have to file a response to these claims. Because it's civil and not a criminal suit, it's possible that a settlement could be reached, or it could end up going to trial. Once everything plays out, we'll check back in for a quick update. That's all for this update. You know my whole end-of-show spiel. If you like the podcast, rate it and share a link with a friend. Follow the Appalachian Mysteria Facebook page for updates we don't include in the shows. We should say we're getting very close to releasing the first few episodes of the next season, and we're excited to share those with you. Be on the lookout and take care of each other.